if you would welcome our guest teacher tonight, Miss Kim.
God bless you all. I'm glad you're here. I was driving down the road listening to this CD I bought as a souvenir from Florida when Nikki and I were there in March. I thought, I never find anything for me to get. I didn't need anything, but I was like, I wanted that soundtrack from this movie, so I picked it up. I'm driving in my car, and this song comes on, and it's like, you know when God talks to you, sometimes it's a dry spell? Well, he's like giving me all these thoughts as I'm listening to this song, and I'm like, wait, I can't write it down, I'm driving. So, and I'm thinking, so then he's giving me mind pictures, and I'm like, okay, this was the mind picture that he gave me. Our lives are a record of rights and wrongs. Just like your computer, it takes note of what you do, and if you screw something up, there's a data log that you can go back and unscrew it up if you're lucky. Or I was thinking about an AED device, which is an automatic electric defibrillator. And what that does is it, when it's installed in your body, it checks your heart rate, it keeps track of every little extra flutter that doesn't need to be there, and it makes a note. And if it goes off, you need to go see your doctor, and he'll hook you up to this other machine that says, oh yeah, on this date, at this hour, at this minute, this is what happened. But it doesn't, well, that can save your life if you need to. So anyhow, I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking about Jesus Christ and how he does that for us, how he did that for us. The title of my teaching is, Will the Real You Please Stand Up? The song that I was listening to was This Is Me from the movie The Greatest Showman. It's about P.T. Barnum. It was a very interesting movie, and it just got me thinking about life and Jesus Christ and how we look at people and things. So I'd like to play the clip of that song for you guys so you can have an idea of where we're at.
Thank you.
So, where were you 30 years ago, 35 years ago, or 5 years ago, maybe even yesterday? Where were your thoughts? Were your thoughts anything like these people experienced? It was a circus troupe. The ringmaster had a vision, and he brought together people that were very odd. They were odd. The things that they faced are no different than what we face before we come to Jesus Christ. Because if we're stuck in fear, or we have doubt, or we have health issues, or we have depression, or we have sadness, it's all something that's attacking you that can be healed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Our life is a record of wrongs. God knows the record of each and every one of us. He knew before the day we were born that we would come to Him eventually. It's great when you can do it when you're a kid. It's so much easier to learn the things you're supposed to do and hold on to them than when you have to start pushing all the crap you've gained over the years from the world beating you down to get rid of. In Romans 10, 9, and 10, I'm going to read the Amplified Bible version. It says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing His power, authority, and majesty as God, it says, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is, being made righteous, being freed of the guilt and sin, and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. Well, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Romans 5:12, the New Living Translation says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. There was no way we were going to escape it because Adam was so kind to take it all on for us. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. How many of us have been in that place? Not in the circus, not in the rain, but dead in trespasses and sins. We all were, right? Since we've all been downtrodden by the world at some point in our life, don't worry, God made a way for us to get out of it. Isn't that great? The only problem I find sometimes is I don't stick with the program. The Bible is the program we have to follow, because through that we see what God wants for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 15, the New Living Translation says, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. We were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So it's available for us to have the real us, Jesus Christ, stand up and be counted and noted. We don't have to be like the strangers and the oddities in the circus. We don't have to let our past hurts and cuts and tragedies take over our life. And you know, they may not be gigantic ones that people see on your face every day. They could be just one thought or one word that triggers something else in your head and it messes you all up. Gets you off the word, gets you downtrodden, all out of whack. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. In the New International Version says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So if we're created in the image of God, how can we dare let anybody say we're less than what God is? How can we do that? We shouldn't. So when we meet the Lord, hopefully we don't stay in the state we were in when he found us, because that would be tragic, especially if you've been in the Word a really long time. As we continue to forge our relationship with him, we should begin to see that old man transform into the new one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The God's Word translation of this verse says, whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence. And we don't have to do it blindly. You don't have to do it alone. God gave us His Word that we can look into. And many times we get talked out of what God says we are by our five senses. We may see something, we may hear something, smell something that brings back a bad memory. When I touch something and get all out of whack. We need to remind ourselves that we now have God's nature in us. We can love the unlovable, which many times is ourselves. Jesus Christ gave us an example to follow, and I'd like to share some of His attributes that will transform us to the point we just might completely leave that old man behind. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, in the New International Version, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You know, if I've found over the years, if I get outside of myself and I see what I could do to help somebody else, life goes so much easier. I don't start knocking myself down when there's somebody else who needs help. And as I do that, I'm not selfish. I'm giving, and then God can bless me so I can bless somebody else. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is what it's talking about. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. How can anybody accuse us when we're walking in the Spirit? They do, because the devil doesn't like that, but they do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Jesus Christ was all about love, and He loved unconditionally. You know, we don't always have to like what people are doing, but we do need to love them with the love of God. I'm going to read from the Message. It says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. You know, kind of like the Energizer Bunny. He's just walking around giving love to everybody. So love is a good quality to have. Let's look at something for compassion in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ was pretty compassionate. The Amplified Bible says of this verse, when He saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion and pity for them, because they were dispirited and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. There's a lot of people out there who are lost. And if we don't step up and walk like Jesus did in situations, we're not going to be able to convey what God has available for those people. We're not going to be able to help them get themselves together if we're not compassionate. So what's good if somebody says, can you help me? And you say, yeah, I don't have time for you. That's not compassionate, right? That's not having patience. That's not doing anything you're supposed to do. Jesus Christ was a servant. In Mark 10, verse 45, from the Message, it says, "That is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve, not be served, and then to give away his life in exchange for many who are held hostage." Were we all held hostage in some way before we met the Lord?
Yeah.
And how many of us were like, "Please save me, rescue me"? Joy. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. The Amplified says, "A heart full of joy and goodness makes a cheerful face. But when a heart is full of sadness, the spirit is crushed." I don't know about you, I'd rather have a cheerful face than one's like, looks like that all the time. Because when your insides start coming out and they're looking like that, you're not very joyful. And that's what's great about the body of Christ, because if I'm off and somebody is sharp and they notice, like, "You're just a little off your game today, what's going on?" and they talk to me, then they can help me. A lot of times, I don't know, I see, you know, Dr. Wirral used to always tell us, it's his eyes behind our eyes, his hands behind our hands. Did you ever, like, close your eyes and just walk and think, "Oh, it's Jesus walking"? Look how cool is that? It's not being conceited or anything, because that's how we should be walking in this world. So if I'm walking that way, I should have a whole lot of confidence, because he walked with God all the time, right? Peace. Let's look at peace in Philippians chapter 4. Verse 7 from the Good News Translation says, "And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus." As we keep our minds focused on God, we're going to have that peace that the world just isn't going to understand. Now, I don't care anymore what people think about me. Who are you? You're not my Heavenly Father. You're not my brother. Well, maybe you are and you don't know it, but you could be. I don't know. I just don't worry about things like that anymore. Because if I'm good enough for God, then I ought to be good enough for anybody, anywhere. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a big thing. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read from the Amplified. It says, "Be kind and helpful to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, forgiving one another readily and freely, just as God in Christ also forgave you." You know, when we hold on to unforgiveness, it's not good. It can lead to a whole bunch of other things that we really don't need or want in our lives. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. In the New International Version, it says, "Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots." Even on his deathbed, Jesus Christ knew we needed to be forgiven. He knew that those guys there, God forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. They're going to be surprised in a little bit of time here. And a lot of times, you know, I'll use me. I have to forgive myself for a lot of things. Things that I think I shouldn't think. Places I've been I shouldn't have been. Things I did that I shouldn't have done. And a lot of times we just go about being able to see what everybody else needs, but what do we ourselves need? So you don't want to forget yourself when you're starting to forgive people or think about things you need to give to the Father. Because a lot of times we got things that we don't even think about because they've lived with us for so long. You know what I mean? Long-suffering. We should be long-suffering with each other. Do you know what that word means? I have a definition. Because I was like, yeah, I think I know what it means. Patiently enduring lasting offense or hardship. Yeah. Well, that's, you ought to get a real crown for that one. Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." Verse 29. "For those whom he foreknew and loved and chose beforehand, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and ultimately share in his complete sanctification, so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers. God has to be patient, because I know, just for me, I don't get it just like that. I don't walk the way I'm supposed to walk all the time. So I'm thankful that he's still there waiting, and he's not waiting there with a baseball bat to, like, clobber me with, because it's like, will you get it already? He's not like that. But I'm sure that when I do the things that I'm supposed to do, he's up there saying, yay, that's my kid! Because I know what I used to be like when I'd go to watch the boys wrestle or do whatever. I'd be the mom in the stands like, what's the matter with all you people? This is a team sport. We're supposed to encourage. We're supposed to, like, yeah. You know, and you could just hear the kids on the floor like, whose mom is that one? But, you know, that's what God does for us when we do the things he wants us to do, because he knows we're going to get blessed by doing them. Gentleness. That's another fruit of the Spirit. Jesus Christ was pretty gentle most of the time. That's what I read when I read about what the things that he did. But there are times, too, when he had to be firm. I don't know his tone of voice, but I'm sure it bit. Just like sometimes we have to bite when we love people. You know, not that you're going to stay angry at them, but you want to get their attention. Like, yo, come on. You're doing something wrong. Let's get back on the ball. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. The Amplified says, let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Can anybody say any of these things about you? That you're patient, that you're gentle, that you have joy and peace? I don't know. Patience is my last one I'm going to do tonight. In Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read from the Message. It says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Not everybody... walks according to the same manner of life, because we're all brought up in different homes by different families who practice different things. That's pretty general, but you know what I'm talking about. What may have worked as discipline or patience in my house might not have worked in your house, right? Because we were from a different family. Anyway, when we endeavor to live the way Jesus Christ did, our old man will begin to fade away. There's no doubt about that. And the more we live according to what God says, we are there. What God says we are. Yeah, there we go. Let me say it again. And the more we live according to what God says we are, there will leave very little room for the devil to get into our lives. So my exhortation for you tonight is that you would, I want to say, stop, think, and listen before you take that step, or when you first wake up in the morning. Make a plan. Make a decision to do things God's way that day. And as soon as they start going awry, snap yourself back and do what the Word says. Be patient. Because I know if somebody's yelling at me for doing something, you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to listen, because that's not me. If you talk to me like I'm human, show me how or what I did and how I should do it, then that will work much better. That will help me get back on the ball, and I won't have to be doing a lot of forgiving things later because somebody yelled at me, right? So that's what I wanted to share tonight. This is me. We don't have to stay me. We can be the real me, the Jesus Christ in me. And that's what I would, that's my dream, not my dream, that's my prayer for each one of you tonight, that you would learn more about his attributes so that we could walk greater in his capacity of love. And go beyond where we are now. How cool would that be? So
hope.
Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for how much you love us and how you work within each one of us to do your will and pleasure. Thank you that we can continue to keep our eyes focused on you, and we can just have light bulbs going off right and left so that we know the things that we should be doing and we can get there. I thank you for blessing these people this evening and for the ones who will hear this teaching, and that we can all endeavor to walk greater for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.